everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Ad Project Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Joe Shelliard from Ad Advance, and today I'm joined by Corey Brown from Buffa Brand Marketing. Corey, it's awesome to have you on the podcast.
Yeah, it's awesome to be here. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, yeah. Well, for people who aren't familiar with you or Buffa Brand, I always love hearing the stories of how people got in the space. Kind of give us a brief story. What were you doing before? How'd you get in the space? What are you doing now?
Yeah, so we'll kind of go now. Right now, I'm the CEO and founder of Buffa Brand Marketing. You know, we're a full service Amazon Walmart agency. So we do a whole host of things and work with our partners to help grow their brands online. How I got here was not as linear as some of the people. A lot of people always say that, hey, I started selling and I ended up at kind of starting an agency. Mine's a little different. I was actually working in the apparel industry and building customized stores for local schools, churches, organizations, and letting them buy apparel through there. And I realized that, wow, I can make money while I'm not working. So you get into work the next day and you see all these orders come in and you're like, and the customer likes it more. So that was my first touch point, kind of getting into the e-com space. And quickly I took a position as like an assistant, working with an Amazon consultant here in the Western New York area. And then, you know, found my way into an in-house role here in Buffalo, New York, helped scale them tremendously over a couple of years. And then when COVID hit, and we had kids on the way, we decided, hey, it's time to do something bigger and better in life and find something that's a little more flexible and congruent with my ideals. So I founded Buffa Brand, brought a couple people with me. 5 years later, here we are, solid team, solid base of partners that we work with, and just getting better every quarter.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And by the way, being in Buffalo, we can relate on like overall snowfall between Duluth, Minnesota and Buffalo, New York.
Yes. Yes. Very, very much so. Similar weather patterns.
Yeah. Yeah. And Corey and I were bonding when we were talking before this about just running in general. And for the record, Corey is a much, much, much better runner than I am.
I appreciate that. But I can tell you, it doesn't matter how fast you're running. If you're training through a winter up here, it is brutal. and we'll leave that there.
Yep. Yeah. So for this podcast, we thought it'd be fun to talk through different AI tools that are coming out, and specifically AI image generation. So there's been a number of tools that have come out recently and a lot of different ways that we could potentially use this as advertisers or as brands as a whole. So I wanted to pick Corey's brain about that. And so Corey, maybe give us a general overview, like what's some key tools that you see that advertisers could use, how this could impact us going forward, like what's useful, what's not, how should we look at the space overall?
Yeah, so AI obviously is a very interesting and quickly moving space, especially as it's intersecting with Amazon and e-commerce as a whole. We're seeing a lot of tools pop up, varying degrees of intricate, varying degrees of usefulness, I think. We'll get into that a little bit. But there's a huge push to incorporate AI in all facets of e-com, whether it comes from, you know, written optimizations in SEO or the Amazon Shopping Assistant that's now come into play. That we can talk about a little bit more. The advertising software, AI has been around that for a little while now. And then specifically, I believe in the last 2 weeks here, we've had a couple additional launches of AI images for specifically advertising right now, where you can generate additional content within the platform itself and kind of speed up your creative process, or at least that's how they're touting it. Amazon, that is. So I think we can dissect that a little bit more and kind of help people navigate what's useful and what's, you know, how to best utilize it. Because I think these tools are great, but as with any tool, if you're not skilled with that tool, it's not really that helpful.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing that I've seen is like, if you just use a lot of these different image tools surface level, it's really hard to get what you're looking for. So how do you crack through that, and what's some specific tools that have been more useful than other ones?
Yeah, so let's kind of go with the creatives in the ad space, kind of the newest rollout right now. So it's super fresh, and of course, you know, Amazon has beta for everything, and they may roll out additional layers to this, and I'm sure that it's going to improve over time. But if we kind of go into a dissection of that in particular, right now Amazon's touting it as you can create all of these super fast AI generated images to help your brand and your display ads convert much higher.
Sure.
Okay, that sounds great. I've seen some other people post, you know, I'd almost rather not put anything up. I think that there's a hierarchy, like having nothing in terms of like no creative assets. Okay, that's the worst. Doing them yourself if you're not good at it is the second worst. And then we move into the more favorable, which is AI generating something, as long as you're kind of moderating it. And then there are actual real creatives that are intended to drive traffic, conversions, clicks, all those different things. And I think that's truly the hierarchy, and that's going to remain that way for some time. So what I don't want people to think is, hey, Amazon just rolled out this new tool. I don't need a creative department anymore. I'll just outsource it to AI. And again, I'm an agency person, so you might think, well, he's a little biased. Like, this is how he makes a living. The best way to use AI in almost every capacity is to be very good at the thing you're doing already, and then use it to speed that up or to augment it slightly so you can move a little quicker or create a little more for the same value. That's where I see that space. And just as a quick example of this, I was looking at the actual rollout of this tool, right? And they use the perfect example, like here's a bottle, and now here's the bottle on a beach. That's the AI. But the bottle on the beach in their own example, it reminded me of something that I saw recently, and I was like, what is that thing that I saw? It was my oldest son. He's in kindergarten, and he just got some spring pictures taken where they let him, you know, a little less formal. He's given a couple thumbs up, and yeah. You know, you can switch out the background from cherry blossoms to a trail to, like, you know, all these different things. And it's cool, but you know it's not real, and it doesn't look perfect, right? Like, there's a difference between that and actually taking him out front in my house and having a real cherry blossom and getting the lighting perfect and having that, like, that authenticness to it. And that's kind of how I feel about this AI right now, is like, it's that can be good, it can be helpful, but it's still not best.
Yeah. Yeah, it is interesting how the human eye, you can pick out something and you can say, okay, that doesn't look real. But in many instances, it's hard to pinpoint down why it doesn't look real.
Yeah.
You know, and so it might be other things like the shading or just the placement, or maybe the bottle sinks a little bit too much in the beach sand, or, you know, something like that where it just doesn't quite look real. And you can tell, but there's been many instances where it's like, okay, I know this is AI generated. Like, they'll do like two side by sides. It's like, I know this one is, but I'm not sure why I know.
Yeah. Explain it to me. I can't, but I have this gut feeling that this is the one that's AI generated. And I think that's going to be an interesting cross section as we get more and more realistic. We've seen the videos. Now, that's not a part of Amazon quite yet, but I think that will eventually kind of find its way in. There are generators with videos and with images that are super, super strong, that are much better than all the others. But there still is that augmentation of the human experience where you almost feel like you're still being misled, because you start to look at those images and you're like, that's too perfect. It almost looks illustrative because it's too perfect. And so your eye almost, even though it's beautiful, you kind of almost retract from it. At least that's the way that I see it so far. And I've seen this on LinkedIn. We see tons of people using that for comments and for images. And it's starting to also, like, kind of all look the same again in a weird way.
Sure.
Yeah. And that's what I worry about with, you know, having this generative software within advertising, is like, how many bottles is Amazon going to put on a beach?
Yeah.
You know, like, how many times is that going to happen? So I think that having a strong creatives team to work with and having some really great foundational assets can help extend what that can actually do and how good that can look.
Sure. Is there any specific types of creatives that you see work better than others when using AI generation? Like, for me, I could see more like lifestyle creatives working a little bit better than like specific like product use cases or something like that. But what do you see there?
Yeah, and I think that's where it can start to get stronger. I've seen some really good examples of, you know, a can of whatever liquid it may be. Let's pretend it's some sort of soda or something, and it's being poured, and there's light coming in through the kitchen, and like that's a really hard shot to take. I know a few people in the space who can get that shot, but there's not everyone can do that. That would be a hard thing for us to execute, and I think we're very, very good at creating. Because it's on a set and it has to be a perfect time of day. So yes, I think that those kind of lifestyle composite shots, that's probably the sweet spot right now for AI, because you're already compositing those into standard photography anyways. So if it can do that a little bit better, get the lighting a little better, items like that, I think that's a spot where it can go right. It doesn't mean it's always going to go right, though, because I've seen ones where it still looks like someone plopped this, you know, can up on the shelf over here, and it's like, that doesn't match anything else in this photo. Sure. And AI is like, I did what you said.
Yep.
Task complete.
What do you do? Okay, one key piece that I've struggled with is AI image generation is I'll outline it, and I'll outline it to the detail where I think that, all right, it should know what I'm thinking. And then it comes up with something completely different. And then I look at it and I'm like, okay, you did provide what I specified. So I totally get that. My engineering brain kicks in. It's like, okay, yep, you got it. But yeah, that's not what's in my head. So like, what's some tools or tips on like, how do you get it to do what you want?
Yeah, isn't that the great question, right? I've had that exact same experience doing some different marketing tools and things of that nature, where I'm like, I have this very specific, like, just picture in my head, and it comes out nowhere near. And I'm like, yes, technically, you performed the task, technically. But I'm like, you're nowhere near visually where I want it to end up. Honestly, I think starting with different baseline prompts is kind of staying broad at first to kind of mesh, you know, get it into a vertical that you're liking. I think a lot of times with AI, what we tend to do is we look at it as more of a linear process. So it'll give us something, and we're like, I'll say like, give me a buffalo that's got, you know, a pile of gold in front of it. I actually did. That's actually a real example. And it'll be like, okay, here's a buffalo. And the buffalo has like two heads, and the pile of gold is nowhere to be found, or it's a mountain in the background. And you're like, okay, well, you did it. So then you start to like craft off of that and say, okay, do that again, but put the gold into a chest. And I think at that point, you actually need to take a step back and be like, am I even foundationally in the right place? Because a lot of times we'll be like, oh yeah, that's good enough, let's keep iterating. But really the baseline that it's using isn't smart enough at this point to get the vision in your head. So I think kind of starting with four or five different small prompts that are broad can get you to somewhere. And that's kind of the digital design process in general, right? You never want to go all the way down the path until you're sure the client is happy with what they have. So you kind of want to give them two or three examples and be like, okay, which one do we like best? And then move from there. That tends to be better. And I think AI is very similar.
Yeah. Another way that I've used it is searching around and finding examples for the prompt and the picture, and then I can see how other people have written it. And what's helpful there is it gives me the base prompt to kind of include, like, mm-hmm. for the type of picture I'm looking for, and maybe some of the camera specs that I might not be fully aware of. But then I can specify that in, and that initial prompt now helps to get me a lot closer when I can specify like the type of image I'm looking for. You know, is it mm-hmm. photorealistic? Is it more of like a cartoon? Is it a drawing? Like, you know, things like that, just by themselves, being able to specify in more detail, like that baseline, mm-hmm. even of the type of image that you're looking for, tends to get me closer in the ballpark. And so usually I'll find examples of people who are smarter than me who have figured out which ways have worked well.
That's the best thing to do in life. Figure out, utilize what people have already figured out, and then figure it out for yourself, the next steps. And I think the other, you touched on something there that kind of sparked a direction for me, is like, even within that, you're like, do you want it to be more illustrative, cartoon? Like, even within just that, if we said, I want it to be cartoonish, right? Like, okay, that's a style. You can pick, if I say cartoon, you picture something.
Yeah.
But there's 1,000 different cartoon styles of what you could draw something like. So even if you're like, oh, draw it like this, draw it in a cartoon style. Like, for me, yeah. and I'm sure for a lot of the listeners here, we're not graphic designers. As much as I'm a brand strategist and I work with my graphics people all the time, they know a lot more about graphic styles, illustrative styles than I do. So they may be better off prompting those things as well. And I think that kind of goes back to what I was saying at the start is like, if you're a seller and you think you're just going to go on there and Amazon's going to magically generate, they are going to magically generate something. Yeah. But what is that? What's the quality going to be like if you're putting in not great prompts and you don't really know what you want and you don't really know the technical verbiage of what needs? Like, you're not going to get something that's super worthwhile out of there, but you will get something. Yep. And something being better than nothing, great. But is it going to be at the level you want representing your brand? That's questionable.
Yeah, yeah. And I think another thing that we take for granted too. So I type in this prompt and I expect it to get what's in my mind. But if I picture, like, I'm talking to a graphic designer and I specify I want it to be more of a cartoon. Like, again, there's so many different layers and types of, like, cartoon type images. And what's in my mind, like, I did not provide enough for that graphic designer to get what I'm looking for. And so you kind of have to approach it the same. Like, it's not just the computers. It's like, yeah, to be able to state, like, what I'm looking for. Like, you have to provide a lot of definition for that. And so yes. Whether I'm doing it to another person or to AI, I think there's more context that we need to provide than we think originally.
Absolutely. And my team, when they listen to this, are going to laugh and say, yep, Corey, you listen to that. Because there's plenty of things I plug into the project management system where I'm like, okay, let me plug this card in and we'll get this moving. And I go back to it a week later and I'm like, hey guys, why didn't this get done? And they're like, we need 100 more points of information before we can do this. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're right. It's all in my head. And like we said, AI is the same. So my team's jumping for joy hearing that statement.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is still in the early stages. All right, if you look far in the future, and I don't even know what that timeline is with AI because everything's moving so quickly. Let's look a couple years in the future, which okay. In AI terms, it's like dog years, so it's a lot. What do you see? Like, how do you start to see AI image generation and ad creatives, like, changing the industry overall?
I think it's going to be similar to a lot of other things in my eyes. Let me wildly speculate here because that's what we get to do when we look that far into the future for AI. So for me, I still think the best at doing all the things in the e-com space are just going to get that much better. I think it's going to be an exponential tool for those who are really good at doing all the baseline things correct. And I think it's going to be a poor shortcut for a lot of other people who are going to start to use, they're going to put all of their list. Let's just look at a listing as an example. You have all these points of contact. There are going to be people that just plug all of that in. They put their product in one time into an AI generator and they generate an entire listing super quickly. And we're seeing it already. So we've seen this happening. But like you said, now the entire listing looks not human, not right. There's something off. Maybe it cheapens the product. Maybe it cheapens your brand. I think that's the world we're headed towards. We're already kind of on the cusp of that. I also think that there's just going to be a huge influx of AI everything. And that I think there's also going to be that inevitable pullback where people go, oh, I'm going to kick it old school now. I'm going to do it the other way. And so I think there's going to be a little bit of that, just like there's been in social media, just like there's been in a lot of things. There's always this huge push and then it gets really saturated and people get a little tired of it, and then they pull back, and they want something different. And then I think we'll see a few waves of that before maybe something even new comes in. But we'll see where the tech goes. I mean, it really does depend. I think the tech has changed drastically over the last year. So a few years from now, we could be in for it.
Yeah. One thing I'm really excited about with it is we love to get very, very detailed on our audience segmentation for advertising. Mm-hmm. When we get up to like Amazon's DSP, like there's so many different ways that you can find different individuals who are interested in your products and how they may look at the product or want the product to be talked about may be very different for each audience and maybe each individual. And so one thing I'm really excited about is right now, creatives are a constraint on how well you can reach out to those individuals through the creatives and how well you can customize it. And so what I am excited about is tools that are going to get built into like hyper customize creatives in ads for those different audiences and can speak directly to them. Where I see it could go too far is, you know, with like individual data and everything, like you could really customize the ad to the point where it reaches the creepy factor pretty quickly.
Yes.
And so there could be that pullback too. But what I am really excited about is the ability to take something that was not as scalable on the creative side and then be able to fine tune that for each of these individual audiences as you go. Mm-hmm. The tools have to be there where it looks realistic enough where those flags don't go off like, okay, this is AI generated.
Yeah.
But in a couple of years, maybe we could get there. And now you have scale on the creative side where you didn't have that as much before.
Yeah. And I think a good example of that would be like, so we have a client that we sell sachets of coffee syrup, different flavored coffee syrup. You know, you're familiar with the bottle pumps, but we've got the on-the-go version of that. And so when I think of that, I think, okay, we were looking at some different markets and we were saying, okay, so the people would take this to the beach, they take this hiking, they take this to work, on and on. There's a whole bunch of different places. And now you can kind of show that maybe in some different ways where you can quickly create hyper-focused creatives on there. So there is the ability to do that if done well and moderated well. So I think that that is exciting. But then, like you said, there's also the creepy factor where at some point they're going to be like, here's a picture of you from Facebook from 15 years ago and you're holding the coffee and you're like, how did that, you know, like, when do we cross that threshold? What do people allow? It's always great. It's like, okay, you can see this piece of furniture in your living room. Okay, that's cool. But at what point do we cross and we're like, wait a minute, that's my living room. Like, how did they get that? And I think there's going to be, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of legislation around AI as well. So we'll see how that kind of curbs things and keeps it regulated, because it's definitely a wild world out there right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was even having a conversation with Noah in the office, and for whatever reason, he was talking about cherry blossoms, really big into cherry blossoms, even though we don't have them around
here. Me too.
and then all of a sudden I scroll down in my Facebook feed and there's a picture of another person sitting in front of cherry blossoms. And so he's like, I told you, it's listening to us. And it's like, it's not listening to us. Like, it's just the algo. But like, even that sparked the creepy factor where it's like, okay, they know too much about us. And now this has been over-customized.
Yes. And I feel that way too.
You can have that pullback. Yep.
Mm-hmm. My wife, a marketer, I don't love getting ads as much as I love putting them out. I don't love getting them. I don't know if that's all marketers or all advertisers, but I feel the same way. We've had many conversations in offices, away from phones, with different people about very random topics. And then all of a sudden you get a Facebook ad and somebody just happened to be telling me a story about their cat. And I don't even have a cat. I'm not a cat person. I'm a dog guy. And all of a sudden I'm getting ads for like kitty litter. And I'm like, I had one conversation with a lady in HR about a cat earlier. And that is really creepy. It's way too invasive. Maybe it works for that brand, but like even as a brand, I almost don't want to get to that level. I think that there's gotta be kind of a break there. And I think AI is going to push us up against that, I think more so than anything else before, because between that and the overall algorithms, it is getting to a point where it's just a little too good and people are going to start to shy away, I think.
Sure. What do you think? So if somebody's looking at they're selling on Amazon or other e-commerce platforms and they say, okay, I want to really lean into AI image generation. Like, where would they start? Where would be the best places to go, like, in terms of tools, and what's the best use cases?
Be skeptical of it right now, a little bit. Healthy dose of skepticism. But beyond that, taking the first steps into utilizing that, I think where we're talking is one of the areas, which is just, like, being able to get more granular with some of your creative when it comes to sponsor brands and sponsor display. That can ultimately be a good thing if harnessed correctly. I think when it comes to the AI side of anything, I think you need to be working with people who understand it. I think you yourself need to understand it to some degree. And, you know, your baseline assets need to be strong. You can't just say, hey, write this whole listing for me and it's going to be fantastic. You have to have an immense amount of information to give it, keywords, all those different things. Same with your images. So when we look at those types of things, really it's just like having a really good baseline knowledge and then kind of taking a step into AI to expand that or just get it to be a little bit stronger for what Amazon's looking for or for what your audience is looking for. I think that's the superpower right now. And that may change over the next 6 to 12 months, but I think that that's really where the baseline superpower is now. And that's where I would start.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. I love that. For people who want to learn more about you, Corey, or connect with you or Buffa Brands, like where should they go?
Okay. So I'm a notorious hermit. I'm usually out running or locked in my office working on something awesome. So I don't really do a lot of social media. So if you're looking for me, we can connect at BuffaBrand.com or if you want to hit me up on LinkedIn, it's a little bit of a guessing game whether I'll get back to you or not. But that's probably the best place to get some updates from me or connect if you really wanted to. Other than that, just let my team connect with you. And yeah, shows. I go out to a lot of shows and do a lot of speaking. So we'll be at a bunch of shows this year as well.
Nice. That sounds good. Any major ones coming up that you got on the schedule?
No, you know, we did CES, we did Prosper. Those are some big guys. The next ones are just the white label events, which are kind of a lower tier event in my opinion. But they'll be good. I'm speaking at those, so I think that'll be great to kind of connect with one. But no, none of the big ones scheduled quite yet. We'll be looking at the fall to get to some of Amazon's events and maybe even a Walmart event or two.
Nice. Sounds good. Yep. We'll have to connect at those.
Lovely. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Corey, thanks again for joining the podcast. It was awesome having you on. And for all the listeners out there too, I really appreciate you listening to this podcast. And as always, we'll see you on the next episode of the Ad Project Podcast.